Alleluia, Christ is risen and reigning. It was a rush of wind filling the house. Tongues of fire appearing above the apostles' heads. And before that very moment, unable to speak any other language, these Galileans were proclaiming the mighty works of God in languages they had not known before that time. People from around the world who had gathered for the harvest home, the Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, had come and they were hearing about what God had done in their own mother tongue. And they were amazed. Pentecost. The church was born. God's promise was kept. The Spirit was poured out. And lives were changed. But Pentecost isn't just back then. Pentecost is now. Pentecost is your life and my life in the work of the Holy Spirit. Every time we hear the gospel, Pentecost. When we hear that we're forgiven and we say, thank you, Lord, that's what I need. Pentecost. To those who have never heard the message of Jesus before, hearing it, it's Pentecost. It's God at work. Working in and through His people to rescue a world dying and sinking and lost. Pentecost. This is a powerful day. It's a time for us to recognize our birthday as God's people, His church, on a mission. Now, are we like a Carnival cruise liner with a few people working really hard and everyone else just, you know, sitting on the deck sunning themselves? No. But we're not a battleship either. That's a little too much aggression. But we are a rescue ship, without sounding too dramatic, going about North Texas. Most of the time in our little dinghies, right now we're like a little ship. And we have a lifesaver to share. Not just suck on during the sermon, but to share to people who are really sinking in despair or lost in their own world of pride or greed or lust or fear. In need of rescue. And that's really what we are, who we are. Because now it's our turn. The challenge with a day like today is, where are the tongues of flame? Where's the wind? Where's the shock and awe? It's in the Word. It's in your life and my life. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God is at work in your life and in my life. The Spirit of God. You know, there was a promise made long ago. This is really cool. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. You know, we think of maybe the desert of North Texas where it isn't watered, it dies. We think of how the ground can get so dry that it can crack in the summer. And then we have our foundation problems with our homes. But we're the thirsty land. We're the dry ground. It's amazing how thirsty we can get. It's amazing how dry we can be. But God promises to pour His Spirit upon us. We need Pentecost often. We need to be revived so that we can be like many, how's this for a metaphor? A mini oasis among a people that are thirsty and dry. That's your life. That's my life. Out in California, when the sprinkler head and the sprinkler system started breaking, the only thing that got green was right around the sprinkler head. Everything else died. And there are times in your life and my life where we're barely growing. But grow we can and will because of the Spirit, and maybe the Spirit will help us to reach a little farther with lifesavers to the dry and thirsty ground around us, the people in our lives every day, some in our home, where we work, go to school, among ourselves, right here. And in every one of those situations, it's the Holy Spirit at work. And it's really cool. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus explains it. He says it this way, and this is the Gospel of John, chapter 15. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Helper. It's interesting. It's a Greek construct of two words. The one who comes alongside and talks to you. So you have a constant companion. The Holy Spirit who's with you, walking with you, talking with you, coaching you. How is he at work? Well, he says things like this. Stace, you shouldn't think about that anymore. And so I say, you're right. I need to think about something else. He says things like, you know, you should do this for your family instead of that. And then I say, yes. And he says the same thing to you. He says, focus on this and not that. And we say, yes, sir. Except for the times when we say, no, I want to think about that. Or I want to do this and forget about them. And the Holy Spirit just keeps walking alongside of us. And then keeps coaching us. And then we say, you're right, Holy Spirit. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, for thinking this way. We say that, don't we? Or we say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Yeah, I need to spend some time and I need to do that for them or her or him. Or the Holy Spirit's at work coaching us all the time. The paraclete, the parakleto, the one who comes alongside. The one who comes to us and visits with us. He doesn't get in our face. He comes alongside and walks with us. He doesn't get ahead of us and then starts yelling at us from a distance. He's with us. The one who's always there, who doesn't give up on us. Some render the word comforter. The Holy Spirit, the comforter. Not the one who sets us up for failure, shines us on, because he's also called by Jesus the Spirit of truth. He wants us to live in the truth. The truth of who and what we are. The truth of who and what God is. And what it means to live in a relationship with him together. And he intends for that to be lived out like this too. Among one another. And you will bear witness of me. So he says this to the apostles. But he also says that to us. And we'll get more to what that testimony looks like here in just a little while. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. You know, Jesus really wanted his disciples to succeed. We're studying the Gospel of Mark between services. And boy, they sure look feeble sometimes, those disciples. Just like we look feeble. And Jesus was always the one that tried to help his disciples work towards success. And of course, in the end, he would ensure it by his sacrifice. But just notice his tender care. And then he goes on, they will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. pretty sobering warning. Not everybody's going to receive what you and I have to say about Jesus. In fact, they might want to kill you. Have you ever thought of killing a pastor? They'll actually think they're doing God a favor. This is just how challenging it can be. And certainly, history provides all kinds of examples of how the apostles traditionally died, though we don't really know how. It hasn't been recorded in the scripture except for the deacon Stephen. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? You know, oftentimes it's hard for us to remember everything that the Lord would have us do in our life. But here's where the Holy Spirit comes in again to help us, to coach us, to walk with us. And of course, this is before his crucifixion, and our Savior Jesus is just laying it out to them as truthfully as he can. He also wants you and me to understand, though our life is not paralleled to the apostles, our life will face these kinds of challenges as well. So it's obvious what he says next, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. You know, next Sunday will be Trinity Sunday. Well, we'll look at the mystery of God, the economic God versus the ontological God. God and his work in his specific Godheads, the work of God in flesh and blood would be to provide the sacrifice that would save us and give us peace with God again. Now, because of what Jesus has done, you and I have peace. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit would be to work in us that saving knowledge and then work through us so that we can share what the Son has done to change the world. And so Jesus is just explaining to the disciples and to us how God is at work. The Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Even God has specific ways. God is like the quintessential engineer. He knows how everything fits together. He knows exactly how it works in your life and my life. And he sees that his design is carried out flawlessly. And we see Jesus, in a way, explaining the design to us right now. And when he comes, this is now the work of the Holy Spirit. He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So those three things. This is where the Holy Spirit focuses his work. These three things. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. So there is no neutrality with God. If you don't believe in what God the Son has done, you're under the wrath of God. You are convicted. In the gospel, we are delivered. And so when we share the good news with people, we are releasing them from the wrath of God. There's no neutral ground. In John 3:36, I think it's John the Baptizer who says, "He who does not believe in the Son, the wrath of God abides on him." It's John the Baptizer who says that. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for the wrath of God remains remains on him. You share the gospel with people, you change their lives forever. And the Holy Spirit is at work in you doing that. But Pastor, I don't know how to do it very well. Just share the details of Jesus. It's amazing as we go through the Gospel of Mark, seeing these people, learning just parts and pieces about Jesus. It's enough for the Holy Spirit to work faith in them so that they actually want to find him. And it's fascinating how the poor disciples, the ones who are closer to Jesus, can't see Jesus like some of the other ones that are just getting the glimpses of. Could it be the longer that you've been a member of this church, the harder for you to see Jesus? Take a fresh look today. And share what you know about him. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's what God would have us do as well. Verse 10, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. He is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. Now his work is to put all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy is death. So even now he's ruling and reigning over all things for the sake of his church. For us. So his mission gets accomplished in this world. Concerning righteousness. You know, the righteousness that he gives, that we are given in the gospel. You know, pastors oftentimes wear robes to remind people that they're covered in Christ's righteousness. You know, when we try to excuse and defend and promote ourselves, we're trying to dress ourselves up with self-righteousness. But the righteousness that comes from above is our righteousness in Christ, through faith in him alone. And that message is given to us by the Holy Spirit who showcases Jesus. And then concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. That's good news. The devil is judged. And even though he prowls around the world like a lion seeking someone to devour, the ruler of this world is judged. He's damned. He's miserable. He's been fired. I remember one time long ago, a guy got fired where I worked. And, I mean, he was fired before he got out of the store. But by the time he got to the end of the store, he had done a lot of damage. Just throwing a fit. He was drunk. He was warned many times. Finally got fired. And he made a mess before he finally got out of the business. You know why it's so acute to me to think about this? Because I was the guy that had to clean up the whole mess. The devil is judged, and certainly he's still making messes today. And I think about what happened in Santa Fe, Texas. You know, the devastation that can be unleashed. I mean, the families that are waking up today just absolutely devastated. It doesn't have to be this way. But the devil's in the details. Certainly people in their sinful nature can resist the Holy Spirit and do what they want to do. But the devil's in the details. But he is judged. And the Holy Spirit is making that plain to us. He wants us to understand these things about judgment, about righteousness, and then finally about, sin and righteousness and judgment. This is the work of the Holy Spirit at work so that we understand what's going on. And then Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't say, have you read all the fine print and sign? I'm not going to remind you of it again. I mean, isn't it nice to know that he's going to make sure that the Holy Spirit's going to help us through all of our life, every step of the way, the one who will walk with us and care for us all along the way? When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak of his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all the truth. You know, there are things in your life and my life where we're just learning what the truth is about them. Keep learning and trust that the Spirit will guide you. Perhaps there's a place in your life where you're living a lie. Stop. Let the truth change you in that very place. And let go of the lie. Let the truth work as the Holy Spirit guides you. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. Jesus says, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The mystery of God, how God in his economy understands all of this and shares it with us. It's Pentecost when we get these epiphanies. It's Pentecost when we hear about forgiveness. It's Pentecost when we hear a message of Jesus and share a message of Jesus, even if it's parts and pieces and people get it. That's Pentecost. Pentecost is more than just a season along the liturgical church here. It's something that happens. May Pentecost happen plenty of times today for you, these epiphanies, these awarenesses. And may Pentecost also happen through you, touching the lives of many. Man, it happened with a rush of wind and flames of fire. And Galileans, before that moment, who could not speak in languages, that they were speaking about the mighty works of God. And everything was changed. The Lord took a ragtag group of misfits and turned them into full of faith witnesses, testimonies to the mighty works of God. And it continues, my brothers and sisters in Christ, in you and me today and tomorrow. And to the next generation. Alleluia. Christ is risen and reigning. Alleluia.